Friends, we are still learning about how God keeps his promises all the way until the end. And it isn't because we don't care, we're not trying. It's just that circumstances in life are always moving, in flux. Advent is a time when we look at how God fulfilled his promise the first time and Jesus came. And then from that, we can project that he is going to return. And in returning, that there will be all the blessings that have been promised throughout Scripture. Now, some memories just don't disappear. Doesn't matter how long ago. When I was a vicar, that's a long time ago, I was walking down the hallway of a nursing home, going to see a very disabled member of ours, disabled by cerebral palsy, CP. And of itself, that visit was always a joy for me. I learned from him. I grew because he was in this body that had imprisoned him, but at the same time, full of life and faith. As I was walking down the hallway, I came up on an older lady in a wheelchair, and again, being young, the reason it stuck in my memory was I just hadn't encountered it before. She was crying out and waving with her hand, "Help!" What I saw was that the wheelchair was sort of running over her sweater, and she was stuck, and she was sort of rubber banding and going like this and couldn't go forward. So I knew right away what to do to help her, right? I came up by her. I picked up the sweater, pulled her back, gave her a sweater to her, and she looked with a vacant stare into my eyes and said, "Help me! I don't know where I am." Ooh, that was a little different. And you know, as I walked away after that visit, I thought, and when will that happen to me? When will it be that I am in a wheelchair and I don't know where I'm at? And who will help me? It made me realize again how important being a caretaker. And God blesses those who are nurses and nurses' aides and those who are therapists and those who are doctors and who care for other people. But I want you to see in this the real reason I brought it up. And that's that circumstances are not in our control. And when circumstances change, we have to be prepared for that. We have to be ready, even if they change in a direction that we're not comfortable with. The end of this passage, you'll see when we get to it, is the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I had thought to myself, I don't know how I was going to do it, and here it is. He will do it. Even in the most trying of times, we have to be sure that with the Lord's help, we are able to handle anything. He's talking to a congregation that he called a model congregation, Thessalonica. And these were people that had severe suffering, persecution. They had often been lifted up for their faithfulness, but I will tell you, it's not easy. It wasn't for them. It won't be for us. And in the day of trouble, what do? Call upon the name of the Lord for help. In fact, earlier in 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, "In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed us with a message of joy given by the Holy Spirit." And that's how we combine the two, joy in the faithfulness of God. Rejoice, the Lord is always faithful. So let's look at the promise of God's faithfulness. Here it is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll quote the first verses. "Be joyful always." Whew. I should read that again. "Be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, these are called exhortations at the end of an epistle, a letter. "Do not put out the Spirit's fire, and do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." What we're going to do is actually not have the parts that I normally do. We're just going to walk down the phrases because they just follow one upon another. Let's start with be joyful. Always. Oh, hey, it's easy to be joyful when things are going well. I got enough money to pay the bills. We're going to have a great Christmas. And it's snowy white. I prayed for a white Christmas. Or I just found a $100 bill on the ground. Good day. Maybe it's because everything is going well. The kids are going off to school and I can manage my world. But what about when it doesn't go that way? What about when we are standing in a cemetery having placed a loved one's in the ground? What about when a surgery doesn't go the way we want it and we're not healing as quickly as we'd like? Maybe it could be something within the family dynamics, that a child just isn't getting it, and the whole brokenness of COVID and school has got us really concerned. You see, no matter what the circumstances, we can be joyful. It sounds almost like it's cruel, doesn't it? Because who can accomplish that unless there's always a reason to be joyful? And that is the case with our lives. Look at what God has done in the past. And that's part of the whole perspective. Is if you can grasp what God has accomplished. Advent is about those coming tiny hands. A baby that reaches out. And I'm not talking a little critter in Mandalorian. The hand comes out. That is the hand that is going to be nailed to a tree. That is the hand of God that has come into the world to rescue. That gift of God gives us joy because God promised and God came and God kept his offer of grace. He put his own son there to take our place. And so when we look back and we see what God has done, and it isn't just in our own lives, but it's in history. This is why we go back to the scriptures and why Advent focuses on Christ, is that God has kept every one of his promises. He'll say through the psalmist in Psalm 103, he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." But he lists a whole bunch of reasons. He says he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. So part of dealing with our present circumstances is to bring the accomplishment of God from the past into the present and sense the joy that God has already accomplished. But then it also goes forward to the future. Paul told the suffering Christians in 1 Thessalonians, he would write, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." We anticipate joy coming. We know God has a plan. We know that God is bringing it all to completion and culmination in Christ Jesus' return. And all of these bad circumstances, all of these difficulties will fade away. It's there that in the past accomplishments and the promises we know God will keep in the future that we find our joy. Now, the next phrase is pray continually. And you and I are going to have to admit, we're not always that concerned about keeping a connection with Jesus. Have you ever done this thing called a back-end dial? I won't use the other word, where you dial somebody and they hear your conversation when you didn't intend for them to hear you. Now, when I want to talk to my wife, I can just dial her number or the children or the grandchildren. It's pretty easy. But with prayer, it's a little bit more like always open. Maybe you kept the line open when you were getting somebody to meet you someplace, and there were periods of silence, but you didn't ask the question, could they hear you? The next time you talked, you got a response. Prayer is an open line. You can keep praying to God and then let it drift away and come back again and again. And I know that frequently we'll shift from thoughts to prayers, but this is that connection with God. It's an awareness that God wants to be involved in your everyday life. And so you can say, give me a parking spot. You just have to be aware that he may choose not to sometimes. Pray continually means that you also ask for this joy that can be found. In Romans chapter 5, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We don't have to clap our hands and do something special like the Buddhists do. We don't have to do a prayer rug 5 times a day like a Muslim. God keeps the line open all the time. This is the proclamation of the New Testament relationship through Jesus. You can talk to God and he is in touch with your every thought. And again, he'll say, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. The third phrase, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. A thankful attitude will change everything. I mean that, everything. In his book, From Prison to Praise, an author gave an example, a dramatic example of a girl that he was privileged to interact with. She was young, had been married only a few months, about 6 months, and her husband, who had been a reservist, was being called up to active duty in Vietnam. Now, things had fallen out with her family. She was a girl adopted, and she came and said to a friend of the author, I have no one. My husband is gone, and I am afraid he'll never come back home. Could be a reality in war. And my parents don't want to talk to me. I'm all alone. What had happened was that she began to spiral with depression and with anxiety to the point where she needed to go to the doctor. He writes what God did. Just before she was headed towards the doctor, he had the chance to encourage her to be thankful. Can you just start in the morning and say thanks to the Lord and find one thing? She said, it's going to be hard. I'm not sure. She trusted him. She said, I'll try. She gave thanks to him through the morning, and in the afternoon she went to the doctor's appointment. Now, mind you, it is not always going to happen this way. But that it does demonstrates God is there. While in the waiting room, she struck up a conversation with a gal who had pictures, and they started talking about family, and she said, I don't have anybody. You know, she was sort of grousing. The lady started showing some pictures of her family and talking about them. All of a sudden, she flipped the page, and the girl recognized a face. Complete stranger. She said, I know that person. And the other lady looked up at her and said, she's my cousin. Well, how do you know her? She said, I think. And she dug into her purse and pulled out a picture that had been on her adoption papers, the only picture she had of her birth mother. And they compared it. Sure enough, they looked like twins. And she said, could it be that this is my mother? She contacted they gave numbers, and she contacted the lady who gave her then the cousin's phone number, and the two got together. Sure enough, it was her birth mother. And out of that giving thanks and praying and turning to God, though she had been completely down to the point of giving up suicide, God had given her another. Now she was not alone. Her mother was with her, and they prayed for her husband to come home, who did. What we see is that we give thanks in all circumstances because it is God's will. This is how God, who is faithful, will show the blessings. He is going to do it in ways we can't comprehend. That's why we turn to him in trust. Paul will say, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. And then he'll go on and say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. No matter how difficult it gets, you have this promise, not just from me, but from God, that you can do everything through him who gives you strength. Be still and know that I am God. The fourth one is about the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. What's interesting here is that the Holy Spirit is tied into fire. And that's exactly how faith works. I know that you've experienced fire in lots of different capacities. Maybe you've started very small or you couldn't get the fire lit. But after a little while, you had to back up because it got pretty strong. Fire can be controlled in such a way that it's a benefit for us. The Holy Spirit, when mentioned as a fire, don't put out the Spirit's fire. This is how he moves from small things to the bigger things. Giving thanks in all circumstances, it might only be one small thing. But before long, the Spirit has you looking broader and bigger, and you're seeing the blessings of God all the way into the past, into the present, and the future. What he does is he adds to the story of Jesus. The arrival of Jesus in the lowest place, in a manger, among lowly people like shepherds, with a family of no renown, Mary and Joseph, and yet fulfilling everything that had been promised about him for thousands of years. We always would like to know what we should do, like just have a crystal ball. Why doesn't Google tell me what God wants for me? Try that. It won't work. We always want God to just blast it open as though impatiently we can turn to him and immediately have that discussion. Oh, we will one day. We'll have direct conversation with him. But he says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. If the Spirit is the fire, then prophecy, the Word of God, is the fuel to the fire. That's why we need to continue to worship. We need to be in the Word. We need to contemplate, meditate on what God was doing then, because it will affect what he's doing now. Joy can come to us from the strangest place. It can be from a stranger, like it did for the girl in the doctor's waiting room. It can be from a child, a family member, a friend. It can be a hand of encouragement. It can be a card in the mail. God is using the circumstances around you to get to you, to help you. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. He says, test everything and hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And there what we're saying is that taking a stand for the Christian faith is going to be a challenge. At times, you have to be discerning. You have to push some things away to get something better. And so he's saying, you know, hold on to what God has given to you. When we are examining a text like this, it's a little bit global, an exhortation, it's going through many different lists. We're going to get to a nugget, and here's my nugget, verses 23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, meaning cleanse you, use your life for good. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Now, it's been a lot of years since I had a Tide to Go pen, one of those stain removers. I just use Shout It Out, a little more general now. But isn't it nice to have something that gets rid of the stains? Now you shake it out, and does it work like the commercials? Sometimes. Isn't it nice to know that you have a robe that you can place over your life? That as you go away today, maybe you brought some trouble here, but I pray you have heard the Spirit say you are forgiven in Christ. I have this suspicion that if you will just quiet down, God will give you the clarity of a white robe of the life of Jesus. I don't always remember why I wear this robe as a pastor. It is that exact reason, to demonstrate that we are covered in Christ. Because really, if you knew who I am underneath this, you would say, he's a pastor? Oh. But in Christ, I can present the Word of God to you as one who has validity and standing. Because I do. Because of the righteousness of Jesus. Because of the life of Jesus. And that being attributed to us, then, makes us clean. It sanctifies us. It makes us holy before God. This is why we come. This is preparing for Advent, is to recognize that God's faithfulness will never fail us. He says in Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, put your mind on such things. The Lord is faithful. He will keep us blameless, taking the stains out of our own mind and heart, cleansing our conscience. He, the faithful one, will help us to be able not only to prepare for Christmas, but to get through any and every circumstance. Be joyful, because the Lord is always faithful, always. And that is a promise that you can carry every day, every hour, every circumstance. Amen.